Welcome to Hope City Church, Melbourne, Australia. Stay tuned for another inspiring message by Pastor Andrew McGrath.
I want to talk to you about faith, the master of the spirit realm. Faith, the master of the spirit realm. And I'm going to set the scene and talk about a few things, and we're going to then unpack what faith is. And a lot of Christians really don't quite understand how faith operates in the spirit realm. And if you don't know that, you can't be fruitful. If you don't know that, then what God's designing and desiring for this time will not be fulfilled. When he comes back to the earth, he says, "Will I find faith?" Not will I find people that are serving, giving, loving, and they're all good things. But he knows that in this final hour, men and women of great faith are needed. So turn with me to Luke 11:5. We've got a few scriptures to go through, but it's going to be great. Follow with me. Take notes if you want. Jesus is so passionate about this time. And I shared with you last week that there's a cry from heaven that the bride of Christ would measure up to the fullness of the Son. So get this. Picture, as it were, and this may be an unusual analogy, but a large head, the mind of Christ, Jesus in his fullness. And picture the body of Christ, tiny, but growing now, so there's a match between the head and the body. The rapture takes place when the body is equal in size and proportion to the head. Are you hearing me? That's when it. So is Jesus coming back today? I doubt it. So don't stone me now, but I doubt it. If he does, I can be proved wrong, but that's wonderful. And I don't mind that. But I doubt it, because he's looking for a full expression of the body. And he's working on that through the Holy Ghost. He is getting us ready. And there's going to be a display on planet Earth of the body of Christ, the fullness of the head displayed in the body for all the nations to see, and then he shall return. He's not coming back for a defeated church. He's not coming back for a defeated person. He's coming back for a victorious bride. And you will be victorious. You are victorious. And in Luke 11, verse 5, there's an amazing parable that we'll start with, and we'll move into the whole unpacking of faith in the spirit realm. But Jesus tells his parable about a man that's in bed with his children, and a friend comes knocking on the door and says to the man in bed, "I want you to rise and give me three loaves of bread." How many loaves?
Three
loaves of bread. So every number, everything in the Bible is by design. Three loaves of bread. "For I have a friend coming from afar, and I want to give him, I want to lay down something before him." And the man in the bed with his teddy bear and his children said, "I'm not getting out of bed. It's too late. I've got my children here. Go away." But the man was persistent. He kept knocking on the door. "I want my three loaves for my friend that's coming." And because of his persistence, the man got out of bed and gave him his three loaves. And we think, oh, what a marvelous little parable. That's talking about that we should be persistent. It is, but there's much, much more. Because that man knocking on the door is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And he's knocking on the door of the church saying, "You've got something that I want for the Son. The Son is coming, and I want those three loaves of bread for the Son. So I'm going to keep knocking until you get out of bed." He's in bed. Because sometimes when you read about people laying down, it's a picture that they are earthbound and not heavenly bound. They've become focused on the natural things. They're asleep when it comes to things of the Spirit. He's got his child in bed, which talks about his future and his inheritance. And it's all earthbound. He's bound by toil and work. He's got no time for the things of the Spirit because he's busy trying to get ahead, trying to pay his mortgage, trying to plan for the future. And he's got no time for what is on the heart of Jesus. He loves Jesus. He just doesn't have time for him and his agenda. But the Holy Spirit is persistent. It keeps knocking on that door. "I want my three loaves of bread." And he won't give up because he's determined to have a bride equal to the Son. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I'm encouraged by that, because when I feel like I can't do it, Holy Spirit says, "Don't worry. I'm going to keep knocking at your door. I'm going to keep preparing you. I'm going to do the work in the church, because I am determined that Jesus' death on the cross will be rewarded." Yeah. His suffering on the cross will be rewarded with victorious children. So what are those three loaves of bread? Well, we don't know until we read down in that chapter. And he says these things. And so you always look in Scripture for patterns when Jesus talks or the apostles. What are they saying? What are the hidden secrets? And then Jesus goes on to say, a number of verses down, ask and you shall seek and you will
find.
Knock and the door will be
open.
There's the three loaves of bread. Quite simple, isn't it? Ask, seek, and knock. He's talking about three expressions for every believer that Jesus wants. It's called the fullness of Jesus in your life. Ask. What's it about? That's about salvation. Ask. For everyone that asks, receives. It's simple. That's the easiest part. That all these three loaves are received by faith. But the easiest one is to ask. If you're not born again today and you're listening to my voice, ask. Jesus, come into my heart, and he will come in. He did all the work. You just have to receive him. Ask. Simple. Seek. Ooh, it's a bit harder. For those that seek. Not for everyone, but for those who seek. Seek salvation. Now we're stepping into sonship. For everyone who seeks, find. That's talking about there's a faith that then the body of Christ walks into to discover their identity, who they are as a son, and who he is as a father. Are you getting this? A lot of Christians stop at salvation. They walk around saved, but they don't have an identity. They don't know who they are. They're depressed. They're anxious. They're inward looking. They're like leeches. They're sucking life out of everyone because they're not established in their identity. I know that I know who I am. I look in the mirror and I love who I am. It's easy to think, isn't it? You love who you are too, don't you, Dean? And it's not a natural thing. It's a revelation from God that's far greater than my physical body. See, everything that's not of God is going to get burned up in the fire when we get to heaven. And all our false identity and images that we stack on, that's all going to get stripped away. So I want to know who I am when God looks at me. Remember in the tabernacle in the holy place, there's a dirt floor and a heavenly roof to remind us that there's the old nature, how I see myself according to the flesh, and there's another heavenly nature according to how God sees me as I truly am. So we get a revelation of that. It's the second loaf and the third loaf. So there's salvation, sonship, and spiritual dominion. Ask, seek, and now we're knocking. So we've gone through those stages of salvation, sonship, and now we're entering into a place where we partner with God in the ruling of nations, in warfare, in the spirit. See, if I don't have those first two steps, I'll never have the third. If I'm unsure of my identity, I can't walk in warfare, because these are the times where there will be darkness and it'll feel like all of hell's against me and I won't feel like God loves me. At times there'll be oppression, but I know that he loves me because I've been established on that second loaf, and now I'm partnering with God by faith in the ruling of cities and nations. That's what the Holy Spirit's after. Are you getting this? He's determined that you get there. Not just salvation, not just sonship, but spiritual dominion. Luke 9:28 says, then after 8 days, how many days?
Eight
is the number of new beginnings. Jesus is about to take Peter, John, and James. Get the order. Peter, John, and James. Up to the hill, up on the mountain. Not to fetch a pail of water. But they went up the hill. Eight's an amazing number because it's the number of new beginnings. This is a picture of Jesus getting the church ready, as I've been saying. Eight is an amazing number. It's new beginnings because we see that in the Old Testament, because a male child was circumcised on the eighth day. And he was done that way so every boy would experience what it means to live in the Sabbath before he was consecrated. That's why they circumcised them on the eighth day. So you would get to experience what it means to be in the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is a picture of the spirit realm. So there's going to be fruitfulness in your life, but it will come once you've experienced the spiritual rest of the Lord. Are you getting that?
Yeah.
See, circumcision is about fruitfulness done through the spirit and not the flesh. They cut away the flesh. So they go up in the hill after 8 days, Peter, John, and James. Note the order because it's a picture of these three loaves. Peter's renowned for his gospel of salvation. He preaches and 3,000 people are saved. John is the picture of sonship because he preaches over and over again about sonship and the Father heart of God. And James is a picture of dominion because he's the man, the only man in the New Testament that is martyred or shown, should I say, documented that he's martyred. He's martyred in Acts chapter 12. And 12 is the number of government. And he is the man that is, before he's martyred, that is a leader. He's strong. And that's why Herod is intimidated. Why would he martyr James and not Peter? Because James was the one. He was a son of thunder. He was pressing in and the enemy was threatened by him. So Jesus takes these three men as a picture of sonship, salvation, and dominion up on a mountain. And he gets transfigured before them. And they see Jesus in his fullness. You see, there's a coming together of the bride in its fullness, the three of them, and Jesus in his fullness. And the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And isn't it interesting that when they come down the mountain, they find an only son who's demonized. He's a picture of fallen Adam. And the Father comes up to Jesus and said, "Your disciples try to cast out this demon and no one can cast him out." And Jesus speaks to this only son that the demon picks up and throws to the ground. You see, the enemy wants to grab a hold of fallen Adam. He wants to grab a hold of every person and lay them on the ground and keep us in the realm of the flesh. Why do you think he comes against you with depression and anxiety and doubt? Because he wants you bound by the natural realm. And Jesus on the mount is inviting the church to experience the fullness of the Spirit in every aspect, in your salvation, sonship, and dominion. Are you getting this? Luke 13:10 is another example. We're getting to faith. Just hang on. I'm setting the scene. Luke 13:10 is a picture of a woman. For 18 years, she is doubled over. 18 years. Did you hear that? Six is the number of man, and three represents spirit, soul, and body. The enemy has attacked her in every realm of her life and caused her to live in a natural realm, spirit, soul, and body. Do you notice that she's doubled over? We are created to have feet on the ground and hands in heaven. We are a conduit between heaven and earth. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But the enemies attacked this woman, and instead of being a conduit from heaven to earth, she is now earthbound. She's doubled over. Can you see that?
Yep.
And isn't it interesting, before this story, a few verses up, Jesus tells his bizarre story about a tower at the Pool of Siloam, that which means sent, which is standing there, this tower, and it falls over on 18 men. And then he tells a story about healing a woman who's been doubled over for 18 years. So we were created in the image of God to be people that operated in faith in the spirit realm and bring it to earth like that tower. But the enemy came and attacked that tower, attacked the image of God in man, and it fell over and it killed 18 people. And what it did, then the outworking is that woman who is bound for 18 years, spirit, soul, and body, earthbound. And Jesus said, "I came to set her free." The religious people said, "You can't heal her on the Sabbath. There's 6 days to work. You come back on the Sabbath." Sorry, you don't heal on the Sabbath. You heal her during these 6 days. See, the enemy doesn't want you to plug into the realm of the Spirit. He says, if you're bound spirit, soul, or body, if you've got issues in your life, you work it out. You work harder, strive, struggle. But Jesus says, "I've come to heal on the Sabbath. I've come to do a work in the realm of the Spirit." Are you getting this? Ours is a work of the Spirit. And whenever we read the Scriptures, Jesus is reiterating this over and over again. I'm coming back to get my church to function in the realm of the Spirit, in every area, spirit, soul, body, salvation, sonship, dominion. You will learn how to do that. You will get this salvation thing nutted out once and for all. It will be a work of the Spirit. You will know that you're born again. The enemy will never rob you of that again. All the condemnation and the doubt, God's going to rip it away because it'll be a work of His Spirit. Then He'll come into your soul and begin to deal with your identity, and you will know that you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. And nobody will rip that. You will never go back to natural remedies trying to do something in your soul that only God can do. And it's a lie from the pit of hell that keeps you regurgitating all this nonsense about who I am, who I am. My friend, it's a work of the Spirit. He enlightens the Word and I begin to discover who I truly are. Put away Clio magazine and put away all the rubbish on TV and get before the Word of the Lord, which is a mirror, and discover by the Spirit who you truly are. And then we will walk into dominion. We will discover what it means to be truly wealthy, victorious. And this is what God's doing, and I'm very excited about that. He's inviting us into the spirit realm. And that's good to know, but the spirit realm operates through faith. All these areas I've talked about, they operate through one means, and it's by faith. Without faith, you cannot access any of these loaves, any of these stages. It's all done through faith. Did you get that? You won't have dominion, you won't have sonship, you won't experience salvation without accessing the realm of the Spirit by faith. So, with that in mind, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we can't see." Faith is the substance. Faith is substance of things hoped for. I hope for a better future. Hope is the expectation that when I look into my future, it's great. So I have pictures on my desk of the house that I'm about to move into. It's a beautiful home. I have pictures in my mind of the outcome for this church. It's a great church. I picture us in a big building with lots of people and me sitting behind a fancy desk. That's hope. But hope has no ability to bring substance. If all you have is a picture of your future, you can't access the spirit realm to get it. It is a picture. Hope is necessary, but hope cannot create. If you want to create in any of those realms I talked about, or those loaves, those realms that we all want to be to please our Jesus, He's coming back for a church of fullness, but the fullness is accessed by faith. It says faith is the substance. So it tells me that faith is substance in the spirit realm. Faith is substance in the spirit realm. Faith brings substance in the spirit realm. Did you hear that? It brings substance. Whenever you want to move into the things of the spirit, it begins by accessing and activating faith. Because your faith literally makes something in the realm of the Spirit. It creates a substance, a living substance. When you got born again and you said, "Jesus, come into my heart," you may not have seen it or felt it, but there was something that was created in the realm of the Spirit inside you. The kingdom in its fullness came in. A substance called the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit came inside you by faith. So faith creates substance in a realm that we can't see. Are you getting this? Faith is substance. It is a word seed that we plant. So with salvation, we ask Jesus to come into our heart by the believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. We planted a seed in this supernatural realm, this spirit realm, and something began to grow because I spoke out a seed or the word of God. That's what faith does. See, faith is a seed and the word of God is a seed. So faith and the word are interchangeable. You could read it like this. You could say faith is the substance of things hoped for, or the word of God brings substance to that which I hope for. See, without the word of God in your mouth, you can never create in the spirit realm. People are trying to change themselves, trying to change their outer world, but not understanding that it first begins in the spirit realm. And I create in the spirit realm using the word as a seed. Can you see how important it is to have the word of God in your heart? Because when I speak, it creates a living substance in this realm called the spirit realm. This little mustard seed, because Jesus talks about faith and the kingdom and how it operates. And I was going to read you Mark 4:31 and Mark 4:26. You can read all about how the kingdom and faith works as a seed. But Jesus says you can take a seed, which is the word of God. Ready? The seed creates substance. Don't lose this. Don't go away. Don't churn out. You take a seed and you plant it in the realm of the spirit. He says, like a mustard seed, and immediately it begins to grow. Do you know the mustard seed, within 24 hours, has begun to shoot out. It begins to move. It is a small seed, but as soon as it hits the ground, God begins to work and things begin to happen. You need to know by the Spirit of God that the moment you declare with your mouth the word of the living God, something begins to grow in the spirit realm. You cannot exercise dominion unless you understand these rules. You will never change in your identity unless you know that when I speak, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The moment I declare that by faith, it goes into the spirit realm and begins to build something in me. Are you getting this? It's building a new identity. Yeah, maybe they're not powerful. Oh, my friend, faith brings substance, or the word of God, we could say it, because faith is a seed and the word is a seed, Jesus says. They're interchangeable. There's no faith without the word, and the word is faith. Faith is a seed and the word is a seed. And I plant that, and the moment I plant that, it creates a substance. Yeah. Are you getting this? Yeah. Oh, my prayers don't work. My friend, don't do that. Stop pulling out your seeds. Stop saying those things. You are powerful. And when you get the Bible, I don't know much about the Bible. Well, just do me a favor. Get one verse. Put it on your phone. Write it on your head. Put it in the mirror. Put it on the car. Put it somewhere. Put it on the back of your partner's head and begin to pray over that. Declare that over your life. I can do all things. See, I declare scriptures like, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches, the wealth that he has, the riches in the glory realm. And he does it through Christ Jesus. And I speak that over and over and over and over again. And guess what? Something is beginning to grow inside me. You've got to get this. This is critical because most Christians have no idea how to create in the realm of the Spirit. How do we exercise dominion without being able to create in the Spirit? How do you undo what the enemy's done? How do you build in realms that need to be built without understanding faith? You can't. Faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that we can't see. It's proof of, faith is the proof of the unseen realm. Do you notice something about the seed? It's buried. Is it not? Yeah. Do you bury seeds? Yeah. Normally, you bury them under the ground. And when they're under the ground, there's a problem. I can't see them. It's buried. Is it there? Yes, it is there. How do I know? Because I buried it. But you can't see it. But I know it's there because I put it there. But you can't see it. There's no proof it's there. I know it's tough. But this is the world that we live in. We are called to operate as Christians in a world that you can't see. Well, how do you know you're born again? There's no proof. I can't see it, but I know it's there. Why are you here today? Because of the unseen realm. You're here because you know that there's more to this world than what you see with your eyes and feel with your hands and smell with your nose. There is an unseen realm that is greater than what is seen. In fact, Hebrews 11 verse 3 goes on to say, by faith you and I understand that the world was created or framed by the word of God, so what is seen was not made by things that are visible. So he's saying everything that you see right now, all of this was created in a realm that you can't see by words. We can't see this world, but it's so, this world is all important to men and women of faith. This is where you separate the boys from the men. Those that wear cardigans to those that wear leather jackets. So the unseen realm is our home. The Bible says the just will live by faith. So what is he saying? He's saying your realm is that which is unseen. You have no business operating in the natural realm. The world does that. And I'm guilty of this in the past, going to what I can see. What's the paper say about this? What's the person saying? What are they saying? What are they doing? Measuring the world, the natural realm, to figure out what God's doing. There is so much flesh on Facebook Christianity. Pulling out little feelers. What do you think? What do you think? I'll tell you what I think. Turn off the flipping thing and get before God and ask him what he thinks. He says, I have put my spirit in you. You have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. So why do you keep asking everyone else? It's like, really? Faith is the proof of the unseen realm. And God is a spirit, and his spirit world creates and sustains our world. And faith is the proof of that. Our faith is saying there is a greater realm. Your actions say there is. See, when you tithe, you're saying there is a greater realm, because it doesn't make sense. Why would you give 10% of your income and more? That's what the press say. What are you doing? Why they interview people coming out of church at Hillsong, I've seen. Do you give 10%? Is this a cult? Why do you do this? Are you manipulated and forced? They don't get it. That there is an unseen realm that says, my God shall supply all my needs. He says, if you honor me with your first fruits, I'm going to do more than you can ever imagine. I will pour out such a blessing on you. But that's in the realm of the unseen. And we access that unseen realm by faith. See, his word is the way I enter into the unseen realm. There's a lot of strange teaching around at the moment, you may have seen. It gets me a little bit antsy. People are trying to do all sorts of way things to conjure up God's blessing. You know, and I've got to be careful what I say, but you may have seen some of the strange teaching that you've got to, you know, do this and go up to heaven and do all sorts of strange manipulations to cancel this out and get this rid and cross your DNA and do strange things with your cells. But you know, my Bible says in John 6:63 that my words are spirit and they are life. And the way to access the spirit realm, the way to enter into the things of the spirit, is through the word of God. As I meditate on it, it is an access point into the whole realm of the spirit. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the access point to a whole new realm. And as I meditate on the world, a whole new world, meditate on the word, a whole new world comes. Isn't that good? Faith is substance. So when I bury that seed, I know that something's working. And the devil's told you, see, nothing happens. You tried it once and what happened? My friend, you need to know this. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he shall reap. Bible says that his word shall not return void. And you can bet all of your life on this fact, that God's word shall not return void. That if you stand on his word and proclaim it, I'm not talking about give it a go. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says something and it's coming to me. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God, thank you, must believe that He is. He is what? He is everything you need. He's whatever you need. If you need a father, He's your father. If you need provision, He's El Shaddai. He's whatever you need. So you must believe He is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And my friend, putting seeds in the ground is not just a side occupation, it is the passion of your life. He says to Joshua, you will meditate on the law day and night. He says in Psalms chapter 1, he says, it's like a man that plants his tree by the rivers of water, and he meditates on the law day and night, and whatever he does prospers. It is a consuming of your life. Well, but what about the rest of my life, my friend? You get this right, and everything else will come together. 1 hour of meditation in the Word is worth 100 hours of toil. You can sweat. You can be like that woman bowed over for 16 years. You can work in the flesh, and all it will do is cause you pain. But you can step into the spirit realm by faith and begin to use His Word like a sword, and you watch things part before you. There's our ways, and there's His ways. And I'm bemused by myself and by many in the body of Christ who've taken so long to figure this one out that it's so much easier doing it His way. Faith is substance and evidence. Faith also, listen what it does. We put it in the ground, it creates substance, and then it grows to be a tree. Faith is substance, evidence, and then it becomes a belief system. You plant that seed in the ground, you need to know this, that eventually it will grow into a tree. The mustard seed sprouts within 24 hours, and they say that within 2 years it has reached maturity around about the height of 22 feet. You need to know this, that you can build a belief system your way or God's way. If you meditate on the law day and night, a tree will grow inside you. Like that. You need to picture this. You actually need to picture this. Every time I plant seeds, trees are growing. Plant seeds of healing, trees grow of healing. Plant seeds of prosperity, trees grow. The reason why some people are so angry about prosperity is they don't have a belief system of prosperity. So when the seed comes, the birds of the air snatch it away. I wrote about this in my book, The Gospel According to Noah. And so there will be some that haven't heard this. But I want you to take this in. This is what happens in the realm of the Spirit. You get this, you get the kingdom. Are you ready? So this is taken out of one of the chapters. We either frame the eternal in time. So take God's seed, which is eternal. His word is eternal. And we grab a hold of that and we bring it into time, which is our garden, into our heart. See, His word is always, it's like radio frequency. It's here everywhere. His word is eternal. You grab a hold of the word and you put it in here. You've got to do that. Did you hear me? You've got to put it inside you. We frame eternal in time to allow it to remain on the earth. Every seed that comes from the mind of God comes with unlimited potential. Listen, the smallest seed dropped into our heart soil has the power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine. It's a little mustard seed. You get one verse, one little verse. Put it inside you. It has the potential, the Bible says. Even though it starts out small, you can't see any change. But you just keep nurturing that seed faithfully. Faithfully. It says it will grow to be the largest plant in the garden. It will become a belief system. Are you hearing me? As revelation seeds grow within, a tree begins to grow. And that tree attracts the birds of the air, Mark 4, that love to nest in the shadow of our lives. Birds of the air are angels. And as the tree grows up, angels come and perch in our belief system. Can I prove that? Psalm says, bless the Lord, you His angels, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. They say they are ministers of His good pleasure. So when you speak the word, they heed it. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, what does that mean? To confess His word, I will confess you. Matthew says before God, Luke says before the angels. So when I confess His word, Jesus is taking that word and saying to the angels, go and minister on their behalf. He says, if you deny me before men, if you deny the word, I will deny you. I won't talk to that. I will not release the angels on your behalf. you are hung by your tongue, or you're released by your tongue. And as this belief system grows, angels are attracted to my belief system because it's founded on the seed of the word. Are you getting this? As the kingdom tree grows 30, 60, 100 fold, it casts out a bigger boundary and invites angels to occupy the boundaries of my life. And I go on to talk about that. That's why John said, he must increase my boundary and I must decrease. In other words, my limited thinking. That's why Peter could walk and his shadow would heal people, because he had built a belief system of healing and his spiritual shadow touched all who came in his path. That's why if you have coffee with me, my shadow will touch you. And there are areas of my belief system that will rub off on you. You will come under my anointing. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the boundaries of life. If you are poor, it's because you've got a poor belief system. No, I don't like that. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't mean you're not godly, you don't love Jesus. It means you haven't taken the time to build a belief system. And we can say that for every... Oh, that hurt, didn't it? We can say that for every realm of life. If we don't have friends, if we don't feel loved, whatever it might be, it's because you have not guarded your heart and cultivated a tree that grows and attracts the favor of God. Angels don't just appear because you're a nice person. They come and heed the voice of the Lord. When you build a belief system, they are attracted to that and they go with you. And wherever you go, they bring the favor of that belief system. Are you getting this? If you get this in your head and in your heart, you will never be the same again. I am conscious that I have a belief system that's growing inside of me. Do you know the nickname for a mustard tree is the toothpick tree? Because they believe that when you eat of the mustard tree, I think the bark or whatever, it has healing properties that fight plaque and deal with bad breath. Have a mustard tree. My belief system, once cultivated, have you found that will then begin to alter the words of your mouth? Yeah. I find myself, when I say things like, I can't afford that, we'll never have that, I find my belief system that I've been cultivating for a number of years now, begin to go, alarms go off, danger, danger, warning, warning. Why? Because that's what happens with the mustard tree. It has properties that heal my tongue. The belief system, once cultivated, isn't this amazing? The seed hasn't come in the tree yet. The seed, first the blade, then the head, like the flower, then the full grain of the head. Isn't this interesting that the seed that I sowed that you couldn't see in the spirit realm, eventually it is formed a fruit on the tree, and in that fruit is the exact seed that I planted in the ground. Faith brings that which is of the spirit into reality. See, that's what wealth is about. Riches and wealth are totally different. Riches are a fruit. So imagine if you won Tats Lotto today and I grabbed a fruit called $60 million and I threw it to you. It's yours and you can consume it. But you don't have the ability to reproduce that. Wealth reproduces riches. Wealth is a belief system. Riches is the fruit from wealth. That's why I say to people, you can have a pie or a pie-making factory. What would you like? Pie-making. See, that's the problem with the body of Christ. You've read it. It sounds pious and religious, but it's nonsense. It's like this. Well, you know what, if you get rich, be careful of riches. You know what, you've got to make sure you don't take too much yourself. Make sure you give it away and make sure that you don't have anything nice because, you know, there's a world that needs money and you've got to make sure that you're always giving everything you have away. That's nonsense. That's called a pie. That's saying that if I eat some of my pie, there's less for the world. That's what it's saying. But God says, eat your pie. And there's another one coming down the conveyor belt. You have a pie-making factory. Isn't that Jesus? He feeds the 5,000 and says, oh, thank goodness, I'd just run out. He said, now go and pick up all the remains, and they picked up 12 baskets full. Can you see this? When you build a belief system, it's not to hoard, but you understand you've built something that recreates itself over and over again. So you sow that seed in your heart with identity, and it will grow into a tree and then fruit, and it'll reproduce itself over and over and over. You'll see it in your kids. You'll see it with everyone around. You will build identity everywhere you go. And no one can steal it. Someone can come and slap your face, tell you you're a fat, rotten, ugly pig. And what they're doing, they are stealing your fruit. But you know what? You've got more than fruit. You've got a tree. And you may slap me, but I'm not going to be depressed for the rest of the day, because you know what? My tree can grow more fruit. Yeah. Are you getting this? And this is what faith does. Faith builds in the realm of the Spirit. A seed grows into a tree, and fruit come. And I'm almost out of time, but I want to finish with this. So faith brings substance, evidence, and it builds a belief system. So that I know there's a realm, I put my seed in it, the seed grows into a tree. But listen to this. I want to challenge you on this. Faith in God will always lead you to a life of increase. Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. My friend, God is a God of increase. And you need to say this, God is a God of increase. You don't need to say it now, but you can. But God is a God of increase, and He's bringing increase to my life today. God is a God of increase. Everything about this story, the parables of Mark 4, everything points to this, that God brings 30, 60, 100 fold. Look, the laws of nature say, put in one seed in the ground, and the tree grows up, and it bears the fruit, and you open the fruit, and there you've got one seed. Is that right? You open the fruit, one piece of fruit on a whole tree. And you open the fruit up, and there are, it seems like, hundreds of seeds. Yeah. And if you let them fall to the ground, I went to my brother-in-law's house, and he'd had tomato trees last year. And he just let them die and fall to the ground. And guess what? This season, they've all grown up again. That's the nature of God. It's called increase, exceedingly, abundantly. Above all that you could ask, that's why I say 1 hour of meditation is equal to 100 hours of toil. Why? Because one seed planted in the ground, nurtured, grows to become a multitude of seeds. God is a God of increase. Well, I'm telling you, He said, be fruitful, increase, multiply. He said it to Adam. You have one assignment, increase, 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 increase. Take Eden, take over the whole world. He said to Abraham, be increase-minded. Look at the stars. Think big. He has a word for the church. You are not thinking big enough. Jesse Duplantis calls it the choking factor. How much can you put in your mouth before you choke? How much can you believe for before it becomes all too much? How much can you see yourself doing before you begin to minimize what God intended for your life? Think big. Faith always leads to increase. When I'm sowing this seed, if I have a poor identity, I see myself, I am not shy. Don't accept that. People want to label you. Oh, the world loves to put labels on you, all over you. I don't want your filthy labels. All the label I have is, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I'm not shy, I'm not timid. There is no shyness in heaven. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear or shyness or intimidation, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And so He's a God of increase. So whenever I'm sowing seed, I see myself as a success. When God called Abraham, he was but one, Isaiah says, and He blessed him and increased and made him many. You mean He'd like to do that to you? Yes, because Galatians says, you are of the seed of Abraham, an heir according to His blessing. Abraham is my papa, my father. And I say, God, remember my dad, Abraham. Remember, we are not to associate with our earthly father. Doesn't mean you cut them off. But spiritually, I look at my father as being Abraham. And what you did in my papa is mine. How you blessed him, you will bless me. I'm holding you to that. He is the father of all those who believe. And you increase him. When he died, when he's about to die, he was old and wrinkly. It says Abraham in Genesis 24:1 was old and advanced in years. In other words, he lost all his hair. But it says the Lord had blessed Abraham, listen, in all things. You mean he wants to bless me and my family, my finances, my health? Oh, that's just too much. Maybe I can just believe for one area. No, it says he increased him in every area of his life. That's the scope that faith reaches out for. Jesus is coming back for a body equal to the head. So we have to increase, enlarge. The body's too small. Us four and no more. You know, I get spiritually irritated because I see the restrictions on the body of Christ, and God just wants to break out in our thinking. Isaiah 55:9 says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You thought I could do this? I think I can do that. My ways are not your ways. They're so much bigger. He wants to bless you and increase you. Oh, I don't know about that. He wants to increase you because he has an agenda. He's going to make himself look good through you. When he increased Isaac, when everyone was decreasing, Isaac was increasing. Don't listen to the papers. The Bible says that he will increase you when everyone's decreasing. And the Philistines looked at Isaac and they envied him because they saw the favor of God on his life. I say over this church, you are all called to increase. You are not allowed to decrease. You are not small. You're not insignificant or timid. I don't care if you're 90 or 9. You are called by God to be fruitful and increase. You must increase. You put that seed in your heart, you guard it, you protect it from the lies of the enemy, you nurture it, you be like Abraham and you kick those birds away, you protect what God's given you, and I tell you what, it will grow. I don't know how long it will take, but it is assured it will grow into a mighty tree and you'll have more seeds than you can poke a stick at. You shall increase. Don't you come to me and say you can't do it. Don't you say I don't know if I'm not able. Don't you say I feel insignificant. Who said it's got anything to do with feelings? We are people of the Spirit, remember? We are those that operate in a different realm. Feelings are not important. Well, that's a bit harsh. Well, that's what the Bible teaches. We walk by faith and not by sight. But I don't feel like I've got much to give. Well, I tell you what, I don't care how you feel. The Bible says you have so much to give. Pressed down, shaken together, and run it. Freely you have received, freely give. When you say I've got no much to give, you're saying you didn't receive. That makes you to be a liar, because the Bible says let God be true and every man be a liar. He has given you more than enough. Ephesians 1:3, he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. There's nothing left he can give you. He has stocked you up to the full. There are now no excuses. I finish with this point. Genesis 17:6. Listen to what it says. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Seeds become fruit, which multiply seeds. And I will make nations come out of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between you and your seed after you in their generations. You know what? There are kings and nations inside of you. When you plant that seed, you've got no idea what God can do. Kings, authority to rule and act. Nations to influence. Who, little me, sitting with my tea cozy and my little blanket with my firearm, I can change the world. You better believe it. Because the Bible is full of stories of simple people with great faith that move mountains. I choose to believe that the Word of God planted in my heart can do anything. It can move mountains. You are here today because of that. I prayed you in. I seeded that in my spirit. I said, Lord, bring me people of great faith. Bring me people that want to change. Bring me people that are hungry for God. And God said, I'll do that. And I won't just do that. I'll do even more than you could ask or imagine. This week, seeds are planted in your heart. You are changing on the inside. God's going to give you amazing opportunities. Some of these seeds will grow like that. Some of these seeds will grow so fast. You're going to see God do amazing things this week. Opportunities for increase. You are a man and woman of great faith. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So put your hand on your garden. Father, we thank you for the seed, even today, that's been planted in people's hearts. We thank you that we are men and women of the spirit realm. And Lord, we've just heard today that we can take your word and plant it in our garden, our spirit. And as we nurture that, as the psalmist says, as we nurture that, we will bear fruit in season. Our leaf won't wither. Even while we're waiting, we'll look good. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are just going to exceed the people's expectations this year. You've told me to teach them about faith again. And I see that. I see people nurturing your word and their lives being turned upside down. I speak over your people, belief systems of great faith. Lord, your word is settled today in their hearts. We're nurturing your word and let it come forth. Faith for salvation. Faith for sonship. Faith for spiritual dominion. And wherever you're at today, whether you need faith, you need to exercise faith for salvation. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and you're sitting here today or listening to my voice through the internet, faith, activate your faith. Open your mouth and ask Jesus to come in. You can do that wherever you are today. You can exercise great faith today for sonship, for your identity, for all the areas that God wants to heal in your soul. It doesn't have to be a struggle. It's faith in His Word. And you plant it in your heart like a seed and you watch it grow. You can exercise great faith for spiritual dominion. God wants to give you houses that you didn't build. He wants to align you with people of great influence. He wants to open up this city for you to father and mother. And it comes by faith. You see yourself as the answer for this city. And you bury that seed. You say to yourself, kings will come from within me. You will cause me to rule in this city. You will cause me to be one that adjudicates, that brings instruction to this city. And I pray, Lord, let that seed that's gone in their heart today bear much fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus, I release the gift of faith here this day. I want you to receive that. If there are areas that you've been struggling to believe for, right now, I break those lies of the enemy and I say, receive a new belief system this day. This day. And as you go home this day, I challenge you to get the Word of God and begin to plant seeds, lots of seeds, tomato seeds, cucumber seeds, all sorts of seeds of health, provision, kindness, goodness, every sort of seed, and you watch new belief systems grow. So I bless you this day. I bless the people of God. As you go, may you prosper in all things. May you be blessed as you go out and as you come in. May you be the one that lends and not borrows. May the favor of the Lord shine upon you in Jesus' name.